Welcome to Make Your Wealth Work, the podcast where wealth becomes your greatest ally in achieving your dreams.
So I was speaking with somebody the other day and they looked at me and said, "It sounds like you're a financial warrior." And I said, "You know, I kind of identify with that description, a warrior. Yeah, I've been fighting a battle. And the battle has been against ignorance. It's been against complacency. It's been against the attitudes of some who talk about wanting to create wealth, but they have no real reason why they deserve to possess wealth." And so, yes, I'm a warrior. And I guess part of the qualifications is having gotten the battle scars over a period of years and decades. And in my case, the decades starting with the 70s and then the 80s, 90s, the aughts, the teens, the 20s, over six decades. And what are my main enemies? They're not the economy. They're not slow employment. They're not inflation. They're not the stock market. The enemies are old habits. The enemies are ignorance. The enemies are people who want to pour a new wine into old bottles. Somebody said that I want to create wealth, but I keep on getting stuck. What are you stuck in? I'm stuck in old habits. I'm stuck in old habits. And so I need to get a pay raise. Someone needs to recognize my worth. If you don't recognize your worth, brother, nobody else is going to write you a bigger paycheck than you can write yourself. So one of my coaches said to me, if you want to do something that you've never done before, you need to become someone that you've never been before. Okay, Joe, so what has that got to do with finances and economics and stewardship and budgeting and so forth? So let me backtrack just a little bit. So when I find myself in conversations with many people, and when I say many people, I don't mean most people who are serious about creating wealth. They're looky-loos. They're the people who want to kick the tires and never buy a car. There are people who want to maybe test my nerves, test my credentials, test my background, but I'm not even sure that they want to do anything. And so they ask these searing questions like, well, what's the rate of return? You know, compared to what? Who's taught you to look at everything in terms of rate of return? You know, if you're worth $100 million, I don't think you're too much worried about rate of return. Well, how soon can I take my money out? Wait a minute. You haven't even started to put money in yet, and you're worried about when you want to take your money out. When can I quit? You know, I got retirement plans in mind. You haven't even built your bucket yet, and you're thinking about retirement. When it comes to life insurance, isn't life insurance a bad investment? Now, we'll talk about that separately, but a bad investment? Well, life insurance is a terrible investment. Life insurance isn't an investment. Life insurance is an asset. It's an asset that you build up over time. It's a business that you've never started before. It's got to have some crank-up costs. It's going to give you a guaranteed floor and a guaranteed foundation over your entire life. It's got nothing to do with an investment. You're looking at it the whole wrong way. Don't you have to die to collect? So these are all the old saws that people throw at you when they don't know what to do except just say no. Just say no, thank you. Just say no, thank you. You're not interested in improving your lot. You're interested in throwing darts. And here's one of my favorite. You know, I don't really want to work with people who charge commissions. You know, I spoke to someone who said, I don't pay fees and I don't pay commissions. And I look at this gentleman and he runs multiple companies and all he does is earn revenue based on fees and commissions. But he doesn't want to pay fees and commissions. And when you come right down to it, if you work for a company and you draw a paycheck, then that company owner produces a product or a service that is sold for a profit. And if they don't make a profit, then they don't have a company. And pretty soon your paychecks will dry up. But if you don't contribute to the bottom line, which is profits or commissions, you'll be out of a job. You'll be looking for another paycheck, but your pay will not keep up with the cost of anything unless you contribute to the creation of commissions. And so I say pretty much everybody on the planet lives on commissions. So the problem with all these presuppositions is that people are attempting to receive new information, or at least they say they're interested in receiving new information, but they're putting them into old buckets. Now, here are some statements that people make. They're not questions, but they assume a question. I'm worth more dead than alive. Well, you probably are, sir. I already have life insurance. But what kind? Is it with your employer? And once you leave the employer, it goes away? I'm covered at work. Do you know what kind it is, how much it is, how long it will cover? Remember, life insurance is for when you die. So if you plan to be retired before you die, then the life insurance won't be in effect. But we're going off the reservation here. There are some things that you need to understand and have in place before you even start to create wealth. So you need to unlearn some things. So Buckminster Fuller, the gentleman who invented the geodesic dome, he said, I've spent my entire life unlearning things that I found not to be true. And Jesus said, you can't put new wine into old bottles because the new wine will burst those bottles. You have to put new wine into new bottles. So in other words, you have to get your mind prepared without preconceived notions, without applying the old biases, which are usually wrong, to the new thoughts. Einstein said it this way. He said, you can't solve problems with the same thinking that caused them in the first place. Or you can't solve a problem with the same mind or mindset that created it. So before you create rules for money, before you create rules to make your wealth work, as it were, you have to understand where you're creating negative wealth. So some common errors that we might talk about. Let's start with income taxes. You know, they started the income tax in 1913. When they started the income tax, it was expected that it would be about a 6% load on your paycheck, 6%. And when they passed that law, about 95% of Americans did not have to file income taxes. So you think that's a little bit different today? You know, still, even today, half of Americans do not pay any tax. So let that sink in. So the half of Americans who are paying some tax are really covering the bill for everyone else who doesn't pay the tax. Number two, in 1913, they created the IRS because they wouldn't be able to collect the tax unless they had the IRS. So taxes are something that we have to live with. I'm not a tax protester, but I do understand taxes are going to continue to increase. You may say, well, tax brackets fluctuate. They go up and down. We never know what the brackets are going to be. The government is needing more and more and more money. So brackets and the rules concerning income are going to creep into your life in multiple ways that you're not aware of right now. And you should be aware that if you want to beat that monster, you're going to have to continue to create money and create large reserves or money, because my attitude is, I don't care what the income tax bracket is. I'm going to continue to make more money. I'm going to create more wealth so that I could stay ahead of the tax brackets, regardless of what they are. I'm not going to waste my time protesting them or carrying a placard or marching in a protest march. I don't care what the taxes are, but I understand they're going to go up. So render unto Caesar the things to whom it's owed. Okay. Tax refunds. Here you go. Tax refunds. Well, I'm planning on buying a new boat. I'm planning on taking my family on a vacation once I get my tax refund. So do you understand that when you're planning on a tax refund, what you did was you paid more in than you should have paid so that you could lend money to the government without the government giving you any earnings or interest on that money. In essence, you made an interest-free loan to the government. Do you think you might have better things to do with your money than lend the money out with zero interest coming back to you? I think so. So if you are getting refunds on a regular basis, you need to adjust your taxes so that you stop getting those refunds and manage your money a little bit differently so that we can create wealth and create positive cash flow with positive earnings. How about mortgages? People love to tell me that they're making extra payments on their mortgage. They're making principal payments. And I say, well, here, I have an investment for you. That investment is going to pay you zero interest, zero earnings all the time, and you can never deduct it. Zero earnings, no tax deduction. How much of that do you want? Well, I don't want any of that. Well, that's exactly what you just bought when you put money into extra payments on your mortgage. You don't get to write them off. You're never going to get any earnings on that money. You need to understand that the appreciation in your house goes up without regard to how much equity you have in your house or without regard to how much you owe. You owe less, your house doesn't appreciate anymore. You need to do the math. You need to think about things a little bit more deeply. Now, when you create greater equity in your house and you want to go to get some of that equity out, as they say, I pulled money out of the house. You didn't pull money out of the house. You went to a mortgage company and you borrowed against the equity in your house. You paid points, you paid appraisals, you paid fees, you paid interest, and now you're going to pay them an interest rate to borrow money against your equity. So you've got to go through this whole process to get money out of your house. You wouldn't have had to do that if you hadn't paid extra payments in that don't make any sense in the first place. How about disability? If you're sick and can't work, or you're in an accident and can't work, who is going to continue to pay your paycheck? Well, I hope my employer does. Hope is not a strategy. Is your employer going to continue your paycheck? Or do you have a group long-term disability plan at work? And do you have a group short-term disability plan at work? And if those things are true, in all likelihood, over a period of time, as you continue to be disabled, you're going to collect probably 2/3, maybe 60%, maybe half of what your previous paycheck was. So you're going to collect a serious decrease in your pre-disability earnings. Well, disability costs too much. And now you're looking at the wrong thing. The income lost could be $1 million. The premium cost could be $1,000. Which is the problem? The $1 million or the $1,000? I'm just speaking hypothetically here. Financing cars. Much of the problem with financing cars is overspending on cars for a car that won't pay for itself. If you're not in business and using that car in business, that car is not going to pay for itself. Part of the problem is overcommitting to a monthly payment or a lease payment that's way over your head, or expecting you'll get money back when you sell the car. You won't. And then the problem is rinse and repeat. After a few years, I get tired of that car. I get a new lease, or I buy a new car, or I trade that one in, and you start the whole process over again. With this type of a habit, you're always going to have a car payment. You're never going to build equity in cars, period. But you're manipulating the facts so that you can justify having that liability wrapped around your neck. A car is a liability. We buy cars because we like the car. We like the truck. Pay cash for the car, pay cash for the truck, and then repay your family banking system back. And at the end of the day, you'll have the salvage value of the vehicle and you'll have your banking system that's continuing to create capital, continuing to create equity for your future use again and again and again. If you continue to buy cars and lease cars and have the outside credit union or bank or finance company continue to make those profits, you will never get out from under it. You'll always be their favorite customer, and you will lose money in every deal. We'll get into credit cards. We'll get into retirement plans during the next conversation.
This is the PodcastFactory.com.